So I will invite you at this time to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. I've entitled my message, Two Builders, Two Foundations. This is the very last in our occasional sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. Having lived here with an introduction before we pray and read God's Word, having lived in an area of Florida, in Ocala, where we purchased a home that had a stipulation, which we kind of knew about, but it's kind of sobering at closing when you have to sign a document saying you're absolutely aware that a sinkhole had opened up on the property and they had put a great deal of filler in it, and that it was at least at this time stable, and that you could go ahead feeling good about the purchase of the home and the property. If you've ever had a home with collapsing soil, and it happens a lot in Florida, we've got underground aquifers and soil gives way as the water drains away and the limestone caverns collapse, but it's a part of living in Florida. It's part of the joy of living in Florida and having delicious aquifer water, but things happen. But if you've ever built a home and know what it's required to do, the engineering and the surveying just to build the foundation, you haven't even put a window shade up. It's just to get started. You'll realize when Jesus is about to teach through this parable the truths of the kingdom, it will come home, I hope, to your hearts. Remember in verses 21 to 23, Jesus warned us against saying without doing. We heard that this morning. Saying, Lord, Lord, without actually doing the will of the Father. Claiming to be a disciple without doing God's will. Now, claiming to be believers and yet not living that out comes in a little different form in our text. It's not just saying and not doing, it's now hearing and not doing. There is a real danger of hearing the Lord's word, but not doing what that word tells us we should do. The danger is to sit in church, to sit in a classroom, and to listen again and again to the very word of God, listen reverently, but not actually embrace what is being offered in the truths that are being presented. Embracing Christ and the gospel in its fullness by faith in our hearts and in our lives. So before we stand and read God's word from Matthew 7, 24 to 29, let's pray and ask for God's word to be ministered to our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, we take with utmost seriousness these words of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would search our hearts, that we might not be those who simply hear these words, nod our heads in agreement, and yet not have them in our hearts, that we would embrace them, that we would live them out, that we would embrace Christ, we would embrace his kingdom, we would embrace the authority of his words for our lives, and that we would be transformed by the power of your grace, through the ministry of Holy Spirit. Father, we want to walk in holiness. We want to walk in godliness. Open our eyes that we might truly understand by faith these words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're able, please stand for Matthew 7, 24 to 29. This is God's inspired, inerrant, infallible, and holy word for us. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You may be seated. So we've come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just remind you where we've been just a little bit before. In Matthew 7, 15 to 20, Jesus warned against false prophets. This morning we heard a message of warning against false professors, or giving a false confession or profession of faith. Now in verses 24 to 27, our text tonight, Jesus teaches by way of another contrast, two builders, two different houses, two different foundations. Now, let me say something vitally important. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Jesus speaks not for God. Jesus speaks as God. If you think you can take these words casually and dismiss them as some kind of secondary teaching, as this has purposely built chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, this whole Sermon on the Mount, comes to a conclusion and is pressing the claims of discipleship upon every single person that will hear, and I mean really Hebraically hear, because to the Hebrew, you're not listening. If you heard my words, you're actually going to do them. That's how I know you were listening. Don't be like me with Lori. Of course, honey, I heard you and never put it into practice. Don't do that. That's what we are up against tonight. Have you heard the words of the Sermon on the Mount? And if you really say you've heard them, then you'll put them into practice. So let's take a look at our first point, verses 24 and 25. The wise builder confesses Jesus as Lord and builds on solid rock and is saved. The wise builder confesses Jesus as Lord and builds on solid rock and is saved. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because the reason, it had been founded on the rock. Everyone, beloved, we do believe in the free offer of the gospel. Everyone from every tribe, language, nation, and people group, everyone needs to hear. Everyone then who hears. Practically, only those who embrace Christ's lordship are his disciples. You can sit and listen and not put into practice what you hear. Everyone who hears these words of Jesus and acts on them will be like a wise person. Hears and does. Hears and does. Pay careful attention. It is not simply those who hear. It is those who hear the Lord and act upon his word. True disciples don't just give lip service. They don't simply listen attentively. They actually embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are doers of the word, not just hearers. And so what is Jesus reminding of us? Reminding us here that it is not enough simply to sit and to listen, to be a bystander. It is not enough just say, that's nice. Those are wonderful pieces of advice. I don't think I'll take them up at this time. Put them into practice. The Lord Jesus knows that when God's grace comes into a person's life, God's grace changes that person. If there's no change, let's go back to A. What don't you understand? The gospel changes a sinner. We are not only forgiven by the grace of God, but by the grace of God, we're about the business of being remade into the image of God's Son through the work of Holy Spirit. There's fruit. There's fruit to our confessed faith. There are good works that attend to our lively, good, genuine, not a forgery, fake faith. That's what we heard this morning. Jesus wants His disciples to be people who live with a vibrant holiness and godliness in a vital relationship with Him. The gospel is life-changing. It really is. It really is. And so, Jesus is warning against those who have a verbal profession, but they have no mark of holiness or obedience in their lives. He's warning those who are respectful of Him, who listen to Him, but who fail to follow His words. I mean, it's easy to forget verses like 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments," I love this, "are not burdensome." Why would you, in love, tell your children to go play on South Tropical Trail or Courtney or US 1 or 520 or on the interstate? Why would you, in love, not build a barrier this far and no further? Beyond that are dangers and death. The law of God is not burdensome. Those barriers, God knows better. He created us for a purpose and a reason. He gave us His law. The law is not burdensome. That's a fault of you if you think God's law is burdensome. It's life. And those who obey it find life, abundant life. What Jesus is saying here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. How are you hearing His words? How are you taking them in? You know, in dry weather, every building plan and every house looks sound and solid. You know what our realtor said? Don't you dare go to that house in good weather. Go when it's raining, when it's pouring, when the floodgates of heaven open, and take cars down the road. See if there's good drainage. Because how would you know? I wouldn't know looking on a beautiful sunny day, dry weather, whether my home could withstand. Why aren't we doing that spiritually? Why aren't we thinking about how God's Word protects us and insulates us, and it's not burdensome, but it's life? You know, in that area of the world, let's have a little geology lesson here. In that area of the world, in the Middle East, there were many places that had very sandy soil. During the dry season, the soil would get baked, it would become hard. And what do you think? That's hard, good soil. I'm going to build on it. That's hard enough. That's strong enough. It's almost like rock. As such, a person might be tempted to build their house directly on that soil, that sandy soil that's been baked nice. Assuming that it would be strong enough to support your structure, the problem is, when the wet season comes, when the wadis open up, when the wet season comes, the soil that seemed so solid would suddenly soften. The sandy soil got wet. It would shift. It would become weak. And a strong storm would cause such a house to have such a great fall. What should you do then? Dig down to the bedrock. It was a lot easier to build a house directly on the soil, of course. Less work. Didn't take time or effort. But most people who were wise would dig down to the solid foundation of bedrock. Let that be the foundation of your home. When they heard these words, they would understand what Jesus was talking about. Now take a look with me in verse 25. The rain fell, the floods came, think hurricane, the wind blew, think hurricane, think beating on your house, your shingles, think hurricane, but it did not fall. Because it had been founded on the rock. Not when temptations come. Not when temptations come. When the pressures and storms of life come. When the world, the flesh, and the devil attack. When the end comes. When final judgment comes. What foundation will be revealed? Look at verse 24. A wise man who built his house on the rock, verse 25 says that it had been founded on the rock. And the simple question to you, this first point is this. Is your spiritual life and the way you live, your earthly life, built on the rock of Jesus' teaching, the rock of his doctrine, the rock of himself? Is he your chief cornerstone? Or is your life built on something else, something less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Because verses 26 to 27 bring us to the second point. We've looked at the wise builder, but here's the unwise builder, or the fool. Yes, it's where we get the word moron. The fool builds his foundation on sand and is not saved, but lost. Look at verses 26 and 27. And everyone, again, free offer of the gospel. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man, a fool, who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, think hurricane, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not stand. It fell, and great was the fall of it. Those who merely give lip service or merely give ear service to Christ will be condemned. Jesus is asking us to consider the foundation of our lives. What are our lives built on? Are our lives built on our own ambitions, our own agenda, our own ethical standards, our own desires? If our lives are not built on him, then they are built on something less, yes? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's not asking whether we're just listening to his teaching. He's asking if our lives are really built on his teaching. Do we hear and put into practice what we've been hearing in the Sermon on the Mount? Again, is Jesus saying we're saved by works? Absolutely not. He's not saying that we are saved by obedience. He's stressing that all those who truly hear the gospel and who truly profess faith in him will express that faith working out with fear and trembling, making our calling and election sure in obedience. We're all building a house. But on what? Everyone. What is your foundation? Sometimes we can get so caught up in the things that we're doing now, the kingdoms that we're building now, the ambitions that we have now, the desires that we have now, whether those be desires for relationships or desires for success or fame or popularity or acceptance or security. The fool who builds his house on the sand, that fool has their priorities wrong. The wise person builds a foundation for life with a view to the eternal things. Throughout the Bible, storms often picture judgment. There's a day coming, a great eschatological day of judgment. And you have to ask yourself, will your spiritual house stand or fall? The wise person builds on a foundation of Christ and His words. Last two verses, to our last point, there is only one way to take Jesus' words. There's only one way to take Jesus' words. One. And I already gave that away at the beginning. Jesus isn't speaking for God. He's speaking as God. Are you listening? Now, these words that we're about to read, I think, form a final warning. Because actually, Matthew doesn't say that anybody believed at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let's just take it as it is, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at His teaching. For His teaching to them was as one with authority, who had authority, and not as their scribes. The end. Millions believed. Thousands believed. Thousands repented. Thousands were brought into the church that day. No, it's not like the book of Acts. Matthew doesn't tell us that they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have that here. What we have is what a lot of people have about the teachings of Jesus. I'm astonished. I'm amazed. That's nice. That's not really listening. That's not really hearing. They had never heard such teaching. Many who heard His words were amazed, but likely, at least here, unchanged. Is that you? Have you listened to some of these sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, and you come now to this point, this place in your life, and you're simply astonished? You're amazed. But you don't embrace Christ. It is possible to hear faithful gospel preaching and not embrace Christ. There are many who sit in churches and hear the word preached. It's to everyone. But they don't really hear because they don't put it into practice. They have faith, maybe, a kind of faith, a said faith, but not a possessed faith, and faith without works, without fruit. There is no obedience, no obeying the commandments of the Lord. Lord, Lord, you might say that, but you don't do, as we heard this morning, what I told you to do. Verse 29, for He was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus had authority in Himself. He was God incarnate. No one ever spoke like Him. No one ever taught like Him. No one ever lived like Him. No one ever died and rose like Him. No one ever will. He's unique. Jesus speaks as God, not for God. Will we hear His words and obey them? Beloved, on the day of judgment, the fool will experience a tragic and great fall. The fool hears these words of the Sermon on the Mount and turns away. But the wise person who stands in faith upon Christ, the solid rock, will be saved. One scripture and we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians 10:4. If you'd like to turn there, 1 Corinthians 10:4. In a world of competing ideologies and philosophies, we have people telling us, as we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount, there are many ways to heaven. There are many ways to salvation. But you know better. There is a narrow gate and a narrow way that leads to life. Have you built your life upon the resurrection the work, the ascension, the entire perfect life of the Lord Jesus, who has overcome the grave and death and Satan. And 1 Corinthians 10:4 tells us about that rock. Whether it was the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, people of God, or the New, and all drank, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is not a rock. He is the rock. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for even the way in which this great sermon has concluded, with once again a call and a warning, an invitation and a caution. Are we truly in faith, trusting in your Son as our Lord and Savior? And are we willing, as disciples, to live in a way that pleases you, to keep your commandments, if we truly love Jesus? Will we be the kind of people that on the last day, when all is made clear in judgment, be found with a solid foundation standing upon the rock, the Lord Jesus? Or will we be found as a fool instead of a wise person, having built our lives, our spiritual and earthly lives, upon sinking sand? I pray, Father, that you would help us all, even now, as we've heard these words, to make it clear in our hearts that we are those of faith and we have embraced Christ, the rock, in whose name we pray. Amen.